for trustees, State College of Florida.
Heavenly Father, in the aftermath of this storm, we gather with hopeful spirits as we continue supporting our faculty, staff, students, and our community. We ask for strength and resilience as we come together and continue the mission of this great institution. Help us to remember that together we can transform our losses into opportunities for growth and renewal. Grant us wisdom in our decisions, compassion in our actions, and creativity in our solutions. May our efforts to restore our campus reflect the values we hold dear: unity, integrity, and a commitment to learning. Inspire us to foster connections that uplift and empower. May our bonds grow stronger, our purpose clear, and our vision brighter. In your name we pray.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dr. Nielsen. That was a beautiful prayer. All right, seems that we have no public comment cards. We will move on to the President's Report. President Gregory.
All right. Well, first, it's good to have you back, Chairman. Glad to have you here today and our new members and everyone else. Glad to say we have a good crowd tonight. Let me say up front that I can't believe that we've just finished three hurricanes in the first 100 days of me being here. But each of them...
Welcome.
Thank you. Each of them taught me, though, it isn't about me. I'm not the one that does really even a minimal amount of work during that time. Your cabinet, of course, makes some tough decisions, and I think, in retrospect, the right ones for our college, for our faculty and students, but really the facilities team and public safety and what they did to get this campus, not just after Hurricane Milton, which, as we know, did $5 to $6 million in damage, maybe more, but after each hurricane, very impressive. And then, you know, in a more recent memory, I went to a show on Friday night, Guys and Dolls, put on right here, and the team of students and faculty that had to put that on, after shifting, you know, they were going to put it on at the Neal Performance Performing Arts Center, but they had to move to a smaller venue, 130 seats instead of 800, much smaller stage. Orchestra couldn't be in the room. They're down the hall. And they pulled it off. It looked seamless from the audience. And I thought it was a good illustration of the teamwork that's happening behind the scenes between your employees and your faculty employees and staff employees and those students. It was a great show. So I put in here in the President's Report on purpose based on that experience, several shows that you could go to. My personal favorite, of course, the United States Air Force Airmen of Note will be here. Those are members of the Air Force that will be here performing November 12th. But all of these, whether they're the Air Force Airmen of Note or the other student performances and the other musical performances, I encourage any and all to go to those, take advantage of that great presentation that they do. And then, of course, I have the standard sort of community contact that we did over the past month. Of course, it's a little more limited than usual because of the hurricane. But the big highlight here, and the credit goes to Cassandra and her team, really was getting the more than $400,000 in line funding, which is matched by the state. So just in the last month alone, they were able to raise $415,000. That'll be matched. So that's a lot more money, and we're going to be producing more healthcare professionals as a result. That's it for my report.
All right. Thank you. I probably should have just before that welcomed Jamie DiDomenico, new trustee. And since I wasn't here last meeting, to Britt Ryan, too. Yeah, welcome to both of you. All right, we'll move on to the parish, enrollment report. Dr. Hale and Dr. Nielsen.
Here to share some. Share some enrollment
in the spring. We have the spring enrollments, some of the student performance from the enrollment, and then Dr. Nielsen will be sharing some next steps that we're taking in this semester. But these are the enrollment numbers from our spring. So this chart shows the kind of driver for enrollment here. We talked about unemployment driving enrollment in an institution like this. And this is kind of how it's gone over time. Over that 2019-2020, there was a little bit of a shift from the way it had operated previously, but now it's kind of fallen back into following unemployment trends. And those are headcount enrollments. And this is the enrollment of our institution versus neighboring institutions. Where they're in yellow at the bottom, and you can kind of see those trends and how they have functioned. The larger institutions seem to have lost enrollment a little more over time than we have. This is the average class sizes during spring term. You see that it's up to 19.8. That usually represents, like when we get games there, represents scheduling shifts and things like that, where we're paying attention to the way we schedule and putting some emphasis on making sure things that students would take together would be at convenient times or things like that, to make sure that things are being offered when students want to take them when they were heavily enrolled those classes. Average credit hours per term. This is for our students. It's an annualized number. Pretty typical for an institution of our type. Our students often are part-time, take a little bit longer to get to degree. That's always an important thing to remember when you look at the way they take courses. We want to encourage them to take a good number of courses, but in some cases, we want to make sure they're balancing that with their work, you know, and family responsibilities and other things. Persistence and retention numbers. And just in terms of reading the graph, if you look at fall 2023, these would be the students who began in fall 23. And then the top number is how many were here in the spring of 24. And then the bottom number, 58%, is how many returned in the fall of 24. The national average for this is about 55% currently. So we're a little above national average. We'd like to keep that moving upward. Course completions per attempt as well is up. Looks like it's been trending up since COVID. A lot of different reasons that could happen, but just the hard work of our faculty, making sure our students are successful. And this one I gave a little bit longer trend because it's sort of kind of tracking as it goes. We've had a lot of discussion about this over time, but our Hispanic student population is now over 25%. We'll begin to look at getting SCF designated as a Hispanic serving institution. That would open up different grant opportunities and other things that would be available to the college financially to support that population. The local population of Hispanic residents in our geographic area sits around 13%. So this is considerably above that. Are there any questions about those slides?
Dr. Hale, what's the target for the class size, the ideal target?
We were just discussing that this morning. It depends a little bit on the types of classes we offer. Some classes have a larger size, some have a smaller. That's something I think we'll probably come back with. Do you have anything to add to that, Dr. Kirch?
No, it's probably a good idea to set some targets. It's not something we've done previously, but I think my discipline is certainly something that we want to do.
Dr. Nielsen?
Thank you. Okay, we're going to shift now to our current semester, so fall 2024. So the first thing I want to show is this is a snapshot of our load hours, so the number of credits students are taking, and this is from the fifth day of classes, so the first week of classes. We saw 18,245 credits that were being taken, and we had, of our first time in college, that's FTIC, 1,589 freshmen joining us the first week. You will see the top degree type is our Associate of Arts degree, and then our Associate of Science with our brand new freshmen, about 209. You can see our demographics below with our male-female ratio for our new trustees. This has been trending where we see more males than females, and we've continued to put efforts into our male recruitment opportunities. Our top counties, of course, are Manatee and Sarasota, but we also see the next two highest is Charlotte and Hillsboro. And I always like to include just some of our top states. We do have students that choose to move here. I know one in particular, she moved and her entire family's in Ohio. She came and toured over the summer and she wanted to get into our radiography program here, so she moved down here. So we will see our students actually come in from other states for various opportunities. Now what I want to showcase to you is what it looks like now. So this was of September 24th, and this is total enrollment across the board. So it's a nice dashboard for you. The top left, again, that is the load hours, our number of credits that we see. So at this point, we had a 2.6 enrollment increase, which is great to see. And then it breaks down, again, our county information, our student headcount, which is up here, the total number of students that we are seeing. And then it breaks down our degree types in totality. One of the things I do want to point out, if you see right here, FTIC, 1,674. You can see even after the first week of classes with our flex scheduling, we still see new students joining us after that first day and that first week. Fun information for all of you, first time in college, where are they coming from? So this is just of our area high schools. Our top 10 for fall 2024, you can see Sarasota High came in. Northport last year, but you can see the increase that we're seeing here versus what we saw last year. One of the things our enrollment services team does is that we track all of our enrollments in the high schools. We look at the percentage of the seniors that join us, and then we set our metrics for the following recruitment year to see if the junior class is larger than our current senior class, how do we ensure that we capture the same type of percentage from those high school students. And then some fun data points for all of you. First of all, Veteran Services, I'll just go around counterclockwise. Our Veteran Services fall of 2024, we have 190 either veterans or family members using our benefits. And then Venice, we have 75. We do have our advisors both located at Bradenton, that serves Lakewood Ranch, as well as in Venice. Our international student population, not many people consider a community college to have this many. We have 60 students enrolled in our F1 visas, 29 countries represented this fall in our top, Vietnam, Brazil, Canada, and Colombia. Yeah.
Is that in order for the countries?
For the top, yeah, moving down.
So Vietnam is the biggest.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Tutoring and academic success. We provide services virtually as well as in person. In the 23-24 academic year, we provided 10,423 sessions. So when Dr. Hale spoke to persistence and retention, this is one of the key service areas that they provide. They also provide a lot of our workshops. So when our students have to take civic literacy exam to graduate, we have workshops that help prep them so that they can complete that area. Financially, this was a big one. If you heard about FAFSA this year, it was quite tricky. Our team put a lot of effort and energy into ensuring that students felt trust and honesty with the institution. There were a lot of stop, go, stop, go. We were on hold for quite a bit. They weren't able to fill out their financial aid as soon as they've been able to in the past. But even with all of that, we saw an increase of 10.5% in packaging. We reached out to students often. We communicated with our LCANs, our local college access network, so Reach Manatee and Planet Sarasota, and we held a number of workshops on campus virtually and also in the schools and in the communities. And then the last piece that I want to highlight is our Disability Resource Center. This is a big one. This was day one of the fall semester. We had 488 students enrolled with the DRC. As of October 22nd, we had 100 more students. So it's not just a one and done. We will see these numbers, and you can see day one, October 22nd. So our students still, even today, are going, I'm struggling in class. We're having them connect with accommodations, go through their intake evaluations. So if they need extended time, if they need a quiet space, we're ensuring that those services are available to them. And a lot of times our first-time in college students are not aware of the resources we have. So we continue to advocate for our students to utilize those resources to help them be successful. Last piece, our athletic snapshot. So some really great highlights. 23-24, last academic year, we have the highest GPA on record. Of our athletes, our student athletes, it was an average of 3.32 GPA. All teams earned NJCAA. You can see all the fun acronyms are down here for you. Academic year nominations, that was a 3.0 GPA. All team, 45 players qualified for all academic teams. 45 of our student athletes held over a 3.3 GPA. It's incredible the amount of work they're doing. Court volleyball, we have the best record in 10 years, and when they won their first playoff game last year, and beach volleyball had finished third in the nation in 2024. So it was a great highlight of what took place last year. And then coming in, some fun facts. I've had both Nick, our athletic director, along with some of our staff go, I saw on TV State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota, and that's because of some of our former student athletes here. So some great highlights of what we are doing all the way across student services, enrollment management, and including athletics. So those are a few of the highlights right now this semester. Any questions?
Dr. Nielsen, this time last year, I think the same slide with the men and women, I asked the question, why have we been able to increase the male population students? And I think it's like over 100 something more people from last year.
Last year?
Out of curiosity.
Yeah, let me pull up. So last year, for first time in college, we had 720 males and 990 females. So it was 42% to 58%, but that was reported in October.
Gotcha.
So this is day five.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good. You said earlier in your presentation that you said you had advisors on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the advisors of the schools?
They're
not our advisors, right?
Veteran services.
Veteran services.
Yes.
I know that you do back-to-school events, things like that with counselors. How many times a year do we go visit a Manatee High School or Booker High School? How many times a year do we do that?
I just provided that data to Trustee Reiner as much as possible.
Do we get invited, or do we just have set times?
So we offer a couple things for our high schools. Invitation, we also invite them to come here. We also provide them a menu of options. So would you like us to come and present to your class? Would you like us to be a part of our parent-teacher conferences? Do you want us to come and present to all seniors? We also do FAFSA workshops in there. And then what we do is we provide them with a semester calendar. And we'll say, hey, thanks so much. We've been to your high school four times. Looks like your applications are down a little bit. How about we come another few times? And then we provide them with a midterm report to say, congratulations, we've seen you X amount of times. And as of today, you have 30 seniors who've applied to State College of Florida.
Out of those high schools, are they all friendly to you and accepting the invitations?
Yes.
That's cool.
We're very lucky.
I'm just asking. I mean, because someone asked me to come 10 times, I would come 10 times.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I'm just curious how many times we're touching them, because out of sight, out of mind, that kind of stuff. So just curious on how many times we touch a particular school.
The other piece is we really want to be the community resource. So it's not necessarily SCF only. We're really talking to them about where is the right fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that in turn will bring in younger children in the family to our coding academy, to our summer camps. We want to be that go-to entity for our families.
Are you seeing any sort of trend with private schools enrollment?
Lower, but we continue to advocate. And sometimes we'll actually see them on the transfer side. So they will go away. And then in the spring, we may see them come back home.
Always a curious topic.
Yeah, it is. Any other questions? Great question. All right. That concludes my report. Thank
all right.
you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Peter Heppner, architects, to do a Paris schematic design.
So I have asked Heppner Architects, Peter Heppner and Jennifer, to give you a presentation on the schematic design for Paris Phase 1 development. That's basically the 45% design milestone. A couple new board members, we kicked off design late spring, held several design review meetings, including the president, the VPs, Dr. Fritz on the academic side, and Dr. Nielsen in the student services side, so we've had great dialogue. Trustee Goodson has sat in on several of those design reviews, so have made some really great progress, and we're excited about what you're about to see. We're still in the 42,000 gross square feet range. There's a whole lot of program packed in the 42,000 square feet, both on the academic side and the student services side. It's that multi-purpose building. So, concurrently, we have the schematic design sitting with Tandem Construction, or CM, on this project. They're going through a constructability review and a pricing exercise to make sure our design is headed in the same direction that our budget will support. So if all goes accordingly, Heppner Architects will finish up design probably late spring. President Gregory is going to find the other $9 million first of July timeframe. If all that comes together, Tandem would bid out the subcontractor work for the GMP together. We'd probably be back in front of the board in October of next year, with construction starting in the late fall of next year. And then I think being conservatively, we'd probably be a spring of 2027 if all that came together, that you'd open up the building. So.
Thank you.
Good evening. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Very excited to present the progress on this project. As Chris said, a number of people around this table have participated in the design as well as a number of workshops. So we've had a great amount of input on shaping of this building. But before I go through this, and this is very brief, I just want to let you know how excited and how honored we are to be in a position to work with the college on a project this important, a new campus, but especially hearing the precursor of this, of the number of students and what the college is trying to accomplish. We want to make sure that this is not just another building, but this is going to be a very responsible building in terms of its architecture that is going to be sustainable and represent the culture and the goals of this college, something that you all can be proud about. Where it's it'll be a beautiful building, but as Chris said, it's going to be very efficient and extremely multi-purpose in nature, because it's the first building on a campus, and it will likely change over time. So it's being designed specifically for change. So with that, let me go through a few of the details. This is the original master plan for a few folks that might not have been as familiar with it. I think we all know where the campus is located, but it's a beautiful piece of property that has very well-developed wetlands and natural preserves. There's a number of water features, we call them. I like to call them beautiful brooks or creeks, and but some people call them ditches. But at the end of the day, we're working closely with environmentalists. A lot of them will go away. They're not contributing. But some of them will stay. And I think, like you've seen on this campus, there's ways to really work with them and really make them nice features that represent the ecological aspects of our great state and region we live in. These are your beginning, the different components that would be the first phases of the project. Phase one limits the construction to the upper right. We also wanted to show the relationship of where a future collegiate school will possibly be located, and then all the areas to the to the west and the upper north will be future phases. I think everyone's aware there is also a piece of the property on the corner that the college is looking at as a possible long-term lease. So in the first phase, Chris is having us look at that very closely to make sure that all the infrastructure is there to support that piece of property in the event something happens sooner than later with that property. Here is, you can see an aerial of the beautiful vegetation on that property, and fortunately, where we're developing this first phase, there are, it's perfect because there's not a lot of mature trees to the east, so we're not really affecting the ecology of the site. However, I want to focus on the area to the west, which is really some beautiful vegetation. You can see in the blue, these are these two water features that I talked about that we will develop. When you see those areas along with these wetlands, you've got quite a beautiful setting for a phase one of the campus. This little oval is the area where the new building, the first building will be. The main entry will be off of Fort Hamer, aligned with the intersection of the development to the east. This is the beginning site plan of the building. You can see the orientation of the building. It was done specifically to focus on that beautiful wetland and that natural preserve area. We've taken the original master plan and we've enhanced that entry sequence and that traffic circle to make it a much nicer grand entry into the campus. And again, you can see the future, the out parcel there, and we're sizing these nice retention areas to handle that, as well as what's very important part of phase one, we're thinking ahead with all the utility infrastructure to make sure that when it comes time for future buildings, we're not going to have to undo anything we did in the beginning, and we'll be able to seamlessly tie into the infrastructure and utilities that were put in as part of our phase one, all the water, sewer, electric, and those types of things. You can start to see to the west the way the building's nestling, that nice wetland and area of trees. Any questions about that so far?
With the growth of Parrish, there's going to be some road widening. I think Fort Hamer already needs it, and Erie Road definitely needs it. Have you accommodated for eminent domain?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've taken a look at that full right-of-way. As a matter of fact, we've got that on our radar. Civil engineers are actually the company that's involved in a lot of that work, so we know what's going to be happening there. And we're also looking at several, under the permitting, several curb cut driveway egress and ingress for the future portions of the building. So we do have all that on the radar.
Yes,
Chris,
I'm
anything?
I met with the county and the designers on the lighting of Erie, and they're going to give us those curb cuts.
Yeah.
Rotation.
But you're right, it's definitely coming, for sure. This is a little bit of the nature of what we're looking at to the west of that building, and obviously this will all get cleaned up a little bit, but these are the type of beautiful vistas you're going to have at some of your nice exterior event spaces in the building. So a real beautiful natural Florida site. Here is a little an animation of the building. You're looking from Fort Hamer, kind of from the sky a little bit, coming into that traffic circle. You want to really make that not just a directional, but something nice with a marquee. And you'll see on a site plan, develop some nice paving patterns and things to really dress up the arrival. And then there's the building adjacent to those nice trees in the back. And you'll kind of get a feel for what we're proposing. The building, and I talked a little bit about this to some of the groups earlier, rather than having a lot of large air-conditioned grand spaces on the interior, we're keeping it a little bit more efficient, but we're doing these nice covered canopies on the exterior in Florida, create shade, and hopefully in the portions of the year when our outside temperatures are nice, we want to see a lot of people on the outside of this building, using a lot of durable materials that won't fade from the sun, a lot of shaded areas, and very careful about the overhangs and the amount of glazing in the different orientations that take on a lot of sun. But you can see a lot of very nice exterior spaces that we're trying to promote. And we're designing this in a way where it'll reach out for pedestrians on campus to the future buildings across those little waterways that we're talking about. But a very quiet building, but with a lot of nice enduring materials, a very highly contemporary building, but one that we think will be a real showpiece for the college and, you know, very fresh in the architecture, very modern, which talks about this college and where you guys are going. A lot of nice opportunities for branding on the building, and you can see that we're very excited about where this thing is headed. That would be your main entry right there. And a couple of things with the site plan, when you see the parking, this site plan starts to talk about the different types of landscaping. You can see the different colors where most of it, fortunately, is natural landscaping, but we are going to come in the parking lot and the traffic circle with other Florida friendly landscaping that's indigenous to really dress it up quite a bit. We spend a lot of time talking about how we want to dress up and design this parking lot so you don't have a very, you know, just pure parking lot in front of the building. So we think the way this is nestling into that natural portion of the site is going to be quite beautiful. This is the floor plan. It's turned in a little bit of a different direction. West is on the top of it, but as Chris said, it's very efficient. To the right, the upper right, is going to be a nice multi-purpose event space, similar to the space on the first floor of the library here at Bradenton. A little bit smaller, but a type of space that not only can be used for a lot of academic purposes, but for events that the college is going to hold. Possibly a community type space where it'd be used by a lot of folks in the community. We actually talked about how it could maybe open up into the lobby so it could flow in and out as well as to these covered exterior spaces. So we still got that concept that we're developing. With all those beautiful trees, we're looking at some nice glass on the corner of that. Again, on the lower portion, that rectangle area, that's all your student services. We spent a lot of time of how the first time a student comes in and gets greeted immediately. We've cleaned up that entry sequence to make it a lot more clear. And that way it's very secure at the back part of the building. We also have another entry because I think, as you recall, that parking lot was kind of like L-shaped. So the building really has two entry components. This is really the main one at the front. But we do have a security office on the other side, so both ends of the building has a lot of high visibility for folks that are coming in and out. So you've got your student services when you come in, your administrative offices. We've got a large orientation space that will be used for student services as well as by the library and the academic success. They use a space like that. And then we've got testing components. This could either be a college testing or it could be a testing agency that you guys have a partnership with. And then we have a DRC component as well. We're working very closely with folks to merge your tutoring and academic success with a library. We see a lot of common components to that. So rather than separating, we're looking at ways to join those together. And then your upstairs is just really a workhorse academic space, if you will. We've got implemented two very state-of-the-art science labs, much like what you've just done here. And at Venice, we've got nursing labs, and then we have a very nice tiered auditorium to the upper left that will be used by all those programs to accommodate about 60 students, much like we have here in building 25A. Our faculty offices at the head of the building, and then we've got a number of educational spaces. These will all be equipped with the latest technology, and they'll all be pretty much the same technology so that they're very similar, but we've got three lecture rooms where they can accommodate 48, and then we've got four that'll accommodate 30. So as we saw some of the numbers in the earlier presentation, this building has a lot of opportunities to have larger groups as the college might change over time to accommodate a lot of folks. A very straightforward building, but in terms of its organization, but as you can see, there's a lot of great breakout spaces and collaboration spaces as you move through the building, as we believe, and you do too, that the spaces outside the classroom are just as important as those within. You can see the nice large canopy spaces, and then here's a little bit of some imagery very early on, but what it might look like at night. So we're very excited about it, and as Chris said, this is a schematic design package. We'll take this back to a lot of the groups that we've already worked with and get their input, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of refinement and changes to it, but this is where we're at, and we're ready to move into the next phase if you guys feel comfortable with it. So, thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Hefner, how large is the out parcel?
The out parcel, was that, Chris, you probably...
5 acres.
5? Yeah. So it could accommodate a number of functions. All right.
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, this is beautiful.
Thank you.
And really designed with such intentionality and thoughtfulness and with great input from the leadership team. So thank you for that. I think this is more a question of the leadership, just looking at these class sizes of 30 students. It sounds like clearly that is what was desired rather than having an additional classroom. But can you respond a little bit to that? Is this the idea of, you know, build it and they will come sort of idea? Or is it more important to have more course offering?
It's a balance. It's a combination. So we sought input from our discipline specific academic leadership. So it's just the deans and the department chairs that will be offering content out there. The idea being that we want to be able to have spaces that will accommodate some of those larger lecture-oriented courses. Primarily what we'll be doing out there is nursing and then general education, which will support dual enrollment as well. And so we look at the content that we're delivering, what the average class sizes are, the content we're currently delivering across our three campuses, and then provided input there. And I actually made some changes to what the original vision was based on that data.
Yeah, I think we better be ready because that's my neck of the woods. I'm on Upper Manatee River Road, and I can tell you that the parish campus will overtake all these campuses at some point in time in the future with students. That's the number one growth area in probably the state of Florida.
Sure. I live up there too.
So it's got to be big because it's going to get crazy.
One of the aspects of the building, the way it's being designed, the thicker black walls on the corridor are more of the structural. So all the other walls in between are not structural. So over time, if we need to do a little redesign and maybe change two big ones to three, it can be done at a fairly cost-effective, in a cost-effective manner. So I think you're right, it's got to be flexible because it's going to change, and when you do future buildings, some of those may take on some of these programmatic components, so the building could change.
Well, you're an architect, and you talk to these people like we do the county. Like, I just got done doing a big project, too, with the county, and all the future... All the future roadways, all the future, they're connecting Hillsborough County with Manatee County now. And we're going to have access to two other counties that we don't have access to now very easily, right down a straight pathway down Mox and Wallow. So I think it's going to be crazy amount of opportunity to grab the students from Pine Ellis and Hillsborough County.
We had an opportunity to design an elementary school for a school district in Manatee County right around the corner from this a few years ago. Last time we were out there, I think they had like 26 portables.
Yeah.
So
they're still
exactly
there.
What you're saying. Yeah.
They're still there.
It's a big hot area for sure.
We will lose some students here too to that campus, right? In nursing and in general studies.
Mr. Chairman, unless there's other questions from the group, as the board's representative on this. Steering committee, I guess you'd call it. We have in front of us the major concept of what we're trying to accomplish at this location. Obviously, I'm in favor of the process and in favor of the scheme that we now have in front of us. We've worked on it. I thank the Grand Mayor for making, but a number of the changes I asked for are in this. They've been very receptive. But I think it would be prudent of us as a board to vote on, and I'm going to make a motion here in just a second, on the concept where we are today, and that we move forward with this concept. We're expending a lot of funds, and if somebody on this board wanted white pillars and red bricks or whatever the case may be, it's now or never. We can't just let them keep going down the road here if this isn't what everybody wants. I think it's the best plan. I think the faculty thinks it's the best plan. I think Chris thinks it's the best plan. And I'm going to make a motion that we proceed with the architects and the general contractor along the basis of what we've been presented tonight.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there a discussion on it? I would usually look to the attorney to see on this, because I don't know that it's necessary, but I don't have any problem with it as far as giving competent guidance to where the whole leadership team is. So, are we voting in favor? Is there any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll move on to the approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say.
I need to talk about D, E, and F, but we can do it after the vote if you want to. I have no objection to the motion at all, but there's some clarification I want to talk about.
All right. Well, since we have a motion, let's vote on it, and then we can discuss those. All those in favor? Well, first of all, we're removing, what did you say, D, E, F?
Not removing.
Not removing.
We don't have to remove it. I just want to talk about them.
Gotcha. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Mark?
I'd like to turn your attention to page 14. And want to give some kudos to our, and all my discussion this afternoon is going to be about the collegiate schools. Give the kudos to the principals and the faculty. If you look at these numbers, they're absolutely outstanding how our students compare to the schools of Manatee, Sarasota, and Florida in general. These are overwhelming to me, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody saw them, because we need to congratulate and give our gratitude to the staff. In fact, I think once a year we ought to see the two principals in here so we can do it in person. These are outstanding numbers. So that's my first comment.
I think we do have Kelly Minot in the back.
Is she in the back?
Yeah.
Well, good.
We'll make her stand up.
You stand up for me. Turn to page 57. In that presentation, this is an audit of those schools. And you see from our auditors, if you look at paragraph 1 and 2, you'll see that they can find no problems whatsoever. Again, kudos to what's going on here. Then we turn to page 64, and further on in that, of our financial units, I would call them, which would be the two-year programs, baccalaureate programs, and then the collegiate programs. We can see that our collegiate schools do very, very well from a financial standpoint. Further on in this, you'll see that, well, before you go in pages, but we have 224 students in Venice and 404 in Bradenton. This audit says that we can increase right now 36 more students in Bradenton. And then a petition for and will be qualified for an additional 81 students. Now, I have no idea if we have the physical structure to handle them or not. But what I'm trying to get at, and they did not mention what they could do in Venice, but I assume it'd be roughly the same or even more, because it's only 24 students. I don't know if we have the physical structure to accommodate more kids, but we're doing a great job of educating them, and they're making us money. And I don't know if there is a strategy, Mr. President, or if we need to develop a strategy to increase this enrollment. But I think we should, because they make us money, and we'll turn out great kids, great educations. Plus, they get dual enrollment in college and high school. Not that I think kids necessarily need to get going faster in life than they do now, but they should get going pretty quick anyway. If we don't have a strategy in place, I think we ought to develop one, because I think we need to at least put these 81 kids in chairs if we have the physical space, and I have no idea. So I guess I'm asking a question. Do we have the ability to put 81 more kids in seats?
And I think, let's do this. It's a great point, Trustee Goodson. Why don't we invite Kelly back in, our next meeting is in December. Why don't we have her come back in the December or the January meeting and give us a presentation on what our capacity is, what's our waiting lists look like. We've had waiting lists at both collegiate schools and see where we're going to go. But I couldn't agree more. It's a wonderful education for the kids that go to school there, and it is a win-win for everybody. So.
A win-win for everybody. I think we need to develop it if we're not already doing so. So I'd love to hear her report. And Venice is principal, too, if she wants to come. But obviously, they're just getting started down there, so I'm sure they take as many kids as they can get compared to us.
And I think if you didn't see it in there, I think Venice just got their first grade as well, and they're an A-rated school, just like our collegiate school at Bradenton. So
right,
kudos are through and through.
It's in here, too. I can't remember what page it's on. But
yeah.
It's in here also. But going over the financials and these extraordinary numbers make me very proud to be here, number one, and number two, I'd like to develop it further. That's it.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We'll move on to number seven, approval of financial consent agenda items. Do any need to be pulled? Okay, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion passes. Julie. Oh, nope. I'm going to do it every time. Every time. Thank you for the information only. All right, Chris Wellman, facility.
Items for the board tonight, but before I do that, just want to share the joy of the Hurricane Milton and what occurred on the Bradenton campus. Where 2 years ago Hurricane Ian was a water issue, this was definitely a wind issue for us, and the Bradenton campus got hammered. So this is kind of typical what the entire Bradenton campus looked like. Your Neil Auditorium is to the left, that's the library. I cannot begin to tell you how many tree limbs snapped. It's wonderful that the campus has got so many trees. I pick one tree and then about 10 or 12 limbs. So a bucket truck would have to set up about 5 or 6 times to get all the trees cut. And then just a crazy thing occurred, President Gregory's the one that brought it to my attention. A microburst or mini tornado or something, if you take a straight line from 60th, from 57th, and go south to 60th, that straight line, the facilities roof, we got a storage building, the gymnasium roof, and then the old auditorium roof, it was a straight line peeled, the single ply membrane roofing off, and what you see there is the new auditorium roof sitting on the parking lot. This is at the baseball field, looking to the south. This is our facilities building. This is the gymnasium roof. Again, it's a single ply membrane. It just peeled it. So when that peels, it rains inside. And that's a section of new auditorium. Fortunately, to the west, that roof stayed intact, but that area goes to the stage. And then this is crazy. This is one of the dugouts for softball. It not only peeled the roof off, but pulled the tie beam down with it so the block went down. And then the same thing at baseball. One of the dugouts went. I mean, just self-disintegrated. That's the canopy you got blown off for the collegiate school workout area. And then recovery. So the storm hit Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and by Thursday evening, Sean Patton's on-site starting assessment, and then by Friday, facilities, public safety, business services, full staff was on-site doing full assessment. We had to assess all 3 campuses, and there's some of that staff that got hit significantly. So if that doesn't say dedication to this college, I don't know what does. So the storm's coming, the colleges, we have a critical incident management team that's led by the president. There's a lot of pre-planning that goes into that. And we set ourselves up with our on-call vendors. And within Saturday, by Saturday, we had about 130 personnel on site. Belfour is our water mitigation company. A growing company we had set up, pre-arranged to them, a temp roofing staged just in case. And then 2 big companies that came through for us, Florida Landscape and Yellowstone, had crews out. I think it might have even been late Friday and just started it. And then one of them after the other, the bucket trucks in, just trying to get cleared out. And then by midweek, we had no less than 24 different vendors supporting us, whether it was getting our elevators backed up, our fire alarm systems backed up, automatic door operators go unhappy when it loses power. So it's everything had to do through a reset. And it was within 2-3 days, that's the facilities building with a temp roof on it. That's the auditorium, the gymnasium with a temporary roof put on it. Again, within 2 days. And then that's the auditorium with a temp roof put on it. So Belfour comes in. They had about 80 personnel by Saturday, generators, mechanical systems, getting the water out of the buildings. The last thing you want to happen is have no power, water sitting in the buildings, and then things go south on you real quick. This is within 2 days of the storm. They were mobilized, 80 personnel. I'm just showing you the pictures of where we lost the roofs, but water blows under the doors. It comes in through an outside air damper. So you have water in a whole lot more locations that had to get pulled up and eliminated.
Chris, can you go back to that photo? Before you leave that photo, you can only catch a glimpse of it, but can you explain what's happening at the end of the parking lot there, where the cones are?
Yeah, so on the back side of the parking lot is the whole FPNL staging operation. And Sean, where they have probably no less than 400 line trucks, fueling operation, 4 buses.
600 line trucks and tree in the park.
How many?
500 to 600.
Yeah. And it was throughout the, within what, 2 days of the storm, and then probably for a week and several days past that, used us as a staging operation. And that's the deal that we've got with them. And when did we just a major kicker for us to recover from this as quick as we did. So we had no power, but they got generators going, got crews into the buildings, working under temp lighting, again, just getting the water out of the buildings. You let that sit, right, we wouldn't be in these buildings right now. That's a river flow park, and that's about the length of a football field of the amount of debris that got cut out of the trees. We probably had 5-6 bucket trucks just working around the clock, getting those cut out. We call them widowmakers. We were hanging limbs that if there was any way we were going to get the campus open, we had to get the, you're going to see all our trees are thinned out now. So within 1 week of the storm, we had the water out of the buildings, temp roofing on it, and all debris, all trees, everything was cleaned up, ready for students, faculty, and staff. So this was 1 week after. That's looking right to the east. And this is kind of a before and after picture there. Any questions?
Chris, and I'm not sure who I'll ask you, but speaking to the financial impact of the of Milton, obviously we have insurance. We have deductibles.
We have insurance. We have deductibles. We have FEMA. If I could start with, we just learned yesterday that FEMA paid us our last $500,000 from Ian yesterday.
So they're pretty quick on
So the college belongs to an insurance consortium of all the 20, about 25 colleges, and we have. Good solid insurance that we bid out in that group. We have a deductible pool where we can pull cash if we need it. And we have real close ties with FEMA. We're already reporting it and working with them to get it paid. So in terms of capital, there's not a huge cost to the institution. We pay it up front. The other thing is, if you have vacant classrooms long enough and you're not teaching them as we were doing online, you can lose revenue. But we got back up so quick that I was talking to our AVP for finance today. Did we get up quick enough to avoid any losses in regular revenue that we have?
Okay, good.
So, very good.
Thank you.
So, Julie, we are essentially made whole from Ian at this point, right?
Yes, from Ian we are. Just took a little longer than the next.
Right, right. But I mean, that's sort of good news for our upfront expenditures for this storm, too. We can be pretty confident where we may go.
Mr. Chairman. As soon as I could get out of my house, I came here and toured as the board's representative with facilities and maintenance and talked to Chris. He makes, as usual, he wants to put it off on other people on what a great job they did. But it took a lot of coordination on his part to put all these moving pieces together and keep up. It takes special people to leave their homes and their families during a crisis to come out and help us. That dedication is this college. I want to say kudos to Chris and his entire team who did exactly what I just talked about. They left home, left ruins, to come here and work. When I toured the campus, obviously it was more like the first picture you saw. But again, 2 days later, I think after that tour, the hundreds of tree limbs and things are all gathered together. The campus is back in. We can drive around in it. Just an amazing job by our staff and, of course, our vendors also. But Chris deserves a lot of kudos for the coordination and getting the job done.
Agreed.
Okay, I got two items for the board. My board memo, first one is on page 163 of the packet. And I'm requesting approval to begin executing contracts to start addressing the Hurricane Milton damages with a not to exceed $6 million. And the plan is these funds transferred to capital projects, which you all approved in September. And again, we don't plan to exceed the $6 million. We're sitting at about $8.7 million. So we're in good shape there. Procedurally, 5.18.07 authorizes the president or the senior VP to execute contracts in emergencies such as this. And that's exactly what we did during Ian. And then I'll report to the board in December on any executed contracts that exceed our $325,000 threshold. And I anticipate contracts that will exceed the $325,000 water removal, trimming, and water removal, moisture mitigation, debris removal, tree removal, trimming and hauling, temporary and permanent roofing will be the big ones that you'll see in December. So requesting board approval to execute contracts to address Hurricane Milton damages, utilizing funds transferred to capital projects with an opt to exceed $6 million.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Is there discussion?
Just, yeah, one question, Chris. On have we already had inspectors and, you know, adjudicators come and adjusters look at the damage and things like that to give us an estimation in their insurance minds?
That Thursday we had the insurance adjuster out there in Fame. We were well prepared for him. We had to show him a whole bunch of pictures because it was mostly cleaned up by the time we got there. We haven't got numbers back from them, but we started to get the...
Is this just our estimation internally?
Yes, it is.
So is there a chance that maybe like we like overshot and we get like a cushion?
If anything, if we hit over the $6 million, we'll be back to you for approval.
I'm just curious because, you know, in relation to the gymnasium, for example, you know, I saw the one of the pictures that looked like a third or fourth of the roof was damaged. Does that mean the entire roof have to be redone? And also the floor, obviously, only part of it got damaged. But, you know, I'm kind of hoping as an insurance guy, let's go ahead and replace the whole floor, you know, if they're going to pay for it. Something that we're looking at too for like, I'm just being a little selfish because I look down the road and I see like a student at a wellness center there with athletics and I don't want to have to like pay for the floor twice. That's where I'm going with that.
Yeah, so we thought we'd salvage the floor and then the more they tear out, if we're able to get the water out of it. So we're getting pricing right now to do a full floor replacement.
Awesome.
I would say the initial numbers that are coming back from the insurance adjuster are an order of magnitude higher than where we're at right now.
They're higher?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And we have started to get actual pricing in for the permanent roofing, and all the bills are starting to come in now for the debris hauling and such, and doing pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
Unpause. If there's no more discussion, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next, Chris.
Okay, last item I've got is page 164 of your package from the board memo. So per state departments for educational facilities, annually we have to pre-qualify or re-qualify contractors that are going to participate in a hard bid project that range from $50,000 to $1 million. So we got seven contractors that are re-qualifying, and they simply resubmitted their contractor's license, their bonding capacity, and their insurance. And then we've got one contractor that's new, that was pre-qualifying, and they had to submit their entire company portfolio and experience and past performance. Yes, they were part of prior, and they dropped off the list, and now they're reapplying. So I'm looking for board approval of requalification and pre-qualification of the contractors.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. All right, now, Julie, now, the synopsis of the pending rule revisions. If you could walk us through that.
So I'm channeling our friend, Mr. Prouty, who was unable to be here this evening. As you may recall from previous activity, we bring new rule changes to you twice, once to get give them to you so you have a look at them, and then next month at the meeting we will do a presentation and share more information on it. But What this is a amendment to our retirement enhancement plan that's required because of the new statute that places us on health insurance with the state of Florida. And so we're going to make some amendments here. I'm going to share, because I know there's been some questions, that the amendment we're talking about is a supplement we provide to retirees for the cost of insurance that will go away January 1st. But we are working with a third-party attorney, and the rule that you see before you preserves what we could, which is the sick leave payout, and it doesn't affect the way that employees or retirees receive those payouts, because that's a different rule. So next month we'll present it to you, and Ms. Pratt will be here.
Okay. Are there any questions for Juliet on the first reading here?
I'll just say that, can I add a comment?
Yes.
Thanks, Chairman. I'm glad that Julie gave that presentation. Our counselor, C. Prouty, and I, if we gave it, it would have been about 3 hours long. All the strike-throughs and underlines, it's a kind of a lawyer's field day there. But it is, it's complicated. She made it sound easy, so I'm glad she gave the presentation. I would look for questions, but I think they're mostly based on, you know, misunderstandings, because it is complex. And it is required by law. So I'm glad that you're able to save the sick leave portion, and that's good for our employees and the right thing to do.
Good. Thank you. All right, so let's move on to old business. Is there any old business to come before the board? Seeing none, we have at least one new business. Dr. Fritsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What you all have in front of you are additional general education revisions required by the state per statute. You may recall that in April we brought forward as a non-financial consent agenda item general education revisions that were required by the same statute. After you approved those, we submitted our general education for review by the state for Department of Education. Sent us a letter back last week indicating that there were some additional revisions that were required. We would typically bring that forward as a non-financial consent agenda item. However, we got our letter mid last week, got a call with the state to clarify the contents of that letter, what exactly was required of us. That happened after the packet was prepared, and we are required to finalize this with your approval and submit by November 22nd, which is before the next board meeting. And so to avoid calling a special board meeting for review of these final revisions required by the State of General Education, we're handling this new business today. Thank you.
Okay, so you need approval on this.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion?
We're removing business ethics?
From our institutional general education. Yes, we will be offering that as an elective course going forward.
Oh, okay. I thought you was elective.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to see if we could get Ms. Holmes up to give us a little
Absolutely. Yes.
On the foundation. Said she would keep it under 25 minutes.
Or $25.
I would like to report the foundation just kicked off its current fiscal year, 24-25. So as of the 28 days, we have fundraising achievement at $234,374. So we're averaging a little under $14,000 per day in the month of October, which is a record. So we're really excited about how the year has really kicked off and fundraising achievement. One of the things that you may not know is the State College of Florida Foundation has a disaster relief fund. And we've asked you, our board of directors, and those in the community if they would like to donate to that. And I'm proud to report we've raised over and we've been able to help 31 individuals, which are our students and our employees, that are the most needy with justified need. So that is a huge congratulations to you on this committee, that those that trust us to get it into the hands of our most needy to deliver those services to our students. And so if you still want to make a contribution to that fund, we're still accepting donations. And as far as our events coming up, we do have our annual scholarship luncheon, which is on November the 8th. Our last day to purchase reservations is this Friday, and we would love to see all of you in attendance. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. All right, final one is board comments. You want to go around the room, start with Mark?
Sure. I think, quickly, I'd like to say kudos to our nursing faculty. As you know, the hospital has to have people there. Imagine the why I'd have people there during the storm when we shut down without power, et cetera, et cetera. And it's gratifying to see sleeping on cots, 22 and 23 and 24-year-old State College of Florida nurses giving their time to people that need it the most during a terrible crisis. So kudos to the kind of kids we're turning out in our nursing school. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
As we're in the spirit of thanking everybody, I thought today pointed out one, you know, we're super job by Chris and his team and the college and the leadership and all departments who took a role into getting our campuses back. And but I also want to thank, I don't see get to see Nick very often, the athletic director here. As you know, athletics went through some turmoil the last couple years at this institution, and to see the accomplishments of our student athletes on campus be able to perform, and I just think that's great leadership opportunities right there that we're excelling in, you know, as we're, you know, as we're pointing out the nurses and pointing out the facilities and pointing out, you know, that those are students as well, and that what a great job of keeping them focused. And you know, with that being said, you know, I just want to put on radar to this particular board at some point in the future. I know that we just got done with a hurricane. I know that that's not going to change anything. I know we're talking about building a multi-million dollar project in Parrish campus, but I would love to see this institution at some point in time in the future have a real student fitness, wellness, recreational athletic center. You know, if we can somehow accomplish that in the next few years, I would be super happy to see our students engaged in fitness activities here on campus, getting to stay here and take classes on campus while they're running the elliptical. I know that this campus does not have a satisfied weight room or gymnasium type of setting for fitness, and so that's just something I'd like to put on the leadership's radar and foundation's radar, is something that I would love to be able to spearhead an opportunity for a capital campaign and community venture to point our athletics / student wellness health center in maybe a positive direction.
Great. Thank you, Ryan. Mike?
Cassandra, what year did we buy that property? In Parrish?
2017.
So I remember going out right after we purchased it.
Yep.
To do a big hoopla.
Yeah.
And now I sit here and watch Mr. Heppner, you know, give the updated plans. I mean, it's really exciting. So it will be, I mean, it's great for SCF, but it's more important for the community. And it's going to be a great, great asset of the community. So 100%. Kudos to everybody involved in that.
Excellent. Yep.
Jim? Well, it's my first meeting. I would say I'm all ears, and I'm learning, and I look forward to working with everybody, with the staff, with the trustees, on what this college is going to look like 5-10 years from now. I'm really excited about it.
We all are. Thank you. Britt?
I want to give a big shout out to many of the leadership team that met with me recently as I am getting acquainted in this role as trustee. Susan was wonderful to set up what felt like a day of college courses for me with Dr. Nielsen and Cassandra and Kelly with the Collegiate School, and I really appreciate you all taking your time. Certainly with Sunshine Law, we don't all gather at once, so I'm sure you're having the same conversations many times over, but I felt like I understood and appreciated the achievements and the needs and areas for growth all the more because of it. And then I also just want to say I feel like I get to sit in the shade of trees that other people have planted as we see these great schematic drawings, and I too look forward to contributing to the groundbreaking and the days to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Taylor?
Mark stole my thunder. I wanted to congratulate the charter schools. I'm immensely proud of all the work y'all are doing, and the numbers are showing it. So I always like when the proof is in the pudding. And then, of course, we've got a very important day coming up on Tuesday, and I won't tell you how to vote the right way or the no. But I do want to mention the referendum that's coming up. It's on the back of the page, and the referendum dollars do go towards charter schools, so it would benefit our Venice Collegiate School. So make sure you are voting for that, and just remember that it's on the back of the page, on the very last one. So please don't forget that one.
But, yeah,
two pages on the second page on the back one. So if you're mail-in voting or whatever, I just remind everybody to go out on Tuesday and make their voices heard.
Or vote early.
Vote early and often and
I love it.
My son tried to slip his, you know, ballot in with mine. And
Where's Mr. Proud when you need him?
All right. I want to, first of all, I want to thank Mike for filling in for me last month. I got to spend a little vacation time at Sarasota Memorial. And while there, I asked, like most of the nurses, when I was cognizant enough, I asked, you know, where you got your training. And some of them were from SCF. And just tremendous. For one thing, I didn't have a bad nurse there the whole time. Doctors are occasional toss up here or there. But the nurses are outstanding. So a lot of that is clearly our program coming through for the community, because not all of these were 22 and 23-year-olds. And I was there for, I was actually in the hospital during Helene. And so I was there when they were doing the cots and they were deciding who was going to stay and couldn't go home to their families. I mean, it's quite a commitment there. Anyway, so I just wanted to say that. And I was just going to mention to our two new trustees that sometimes the slideshows, you know, they don't show up in our packets and all. But if you don't want to have to take notes seriously, you can just ask for the slideshow to be emailed to you. And you can have all that pretty information on your own computer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's all I have. Have anything, Mr. President?
I do. Do you mind?
No.
Real quickly, a couple of things. One, I just wanted to take the pulse of trustees to see if you'd be interested in bringing a faculty member and a student, perhaps to each of these board meetings. Just kind of let them talk to you about who they are, what they do here, kind of get to know them, give them an opportunity. Something you're interested in?
Yeah.
Okay. I was really impressed by, you know, of course, the kudos that have already gone out, but let me just say, Trustee Reiner was here a couple of days ago. We went over to the student union for lunch, and we were talking to the students that were there. And to hear from them their stories, and, you know, ask them how they're doing, and they're like, I'm doing fine. It was, you know, of course, a terrible 10 days without power, and they felt like it's a lost time for them, just like it was for each of us, because while they might have been home, if they were fortunate enough to have a generator, it's not like they could think, because you have this constant beating noise in the background, and then all the other things that people overcame. But the message that he left both of us with was, but it's not going to derail my education. I will get it done. I might be behind, but their professors are working with them, so we're very excited to see that sort of resilience, and I think that you'll see that continue. I know that you will from the students, from the faculty, all the employees here. So very proud of this team, and looking forward to the days to come.
Excellent. All right. Seeing nothing else, meeting adjourned.